In the introit of today's Mass, for the third time this month, the choir sings, "I think thoughts of peace and not affliction, saith the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Did you catch one of the significant clues? They always leave them, a few at least, in plain sight. Think passports, for example. From the Friday night, the 13th, Friday, a day and a number saturated with the occult, 13. From that massacre in Paris, the American band playing at the Bataclan, Eagles of Death Metal, their mostly young fans were photographed giving the satanic devil horns salute. Ratzinger and even Bush were photographed doing the same thing. Just before, in this case, the slaughter started, the band tuned up Kiss the Devil, and they sang, "Who will love the devil? Who will sing his song? I will love the devil and his song." And they sang it. The shooting started. The band stopped singing and departed, all of them escaping unharmed. But the audience did not. Not in body, not in soul. We already saw this past Lent how that ISIS represents a true return to early Islam, including its occult practices and devil worship, the blood cult of human sacrifice. What a group! Where on earth did these people come from? Well, we looked at that. And I think more and more people today are starting to see that nothing comes from nowhere, but that the modern liberal democracies, led by the United States, perhaps this is why they are so unreliable when it comes to protecting us in exchange for all of our liberties. The modern governments are the ones, in some sense at least, responsible. They are the children of the Great Revolution of 1789 in France, and they are responsible for the revolutions that threaten our safety today. That bloody Masonic battle cry, which made the blood first run in Parisian streets, liberty, equality, fraternity, according to their own interpretation. Obama said last week, "Well, we all believe in these values." And then the government went on just recently, this year, to chain us more firmly to the devil's kiss, didn't they? By abolishing natural marriage as the law of our land, and now by mandating these gender laws in public schools. These are the people, these are the powers who give us perpetual war in the name of security. And they're the ones who have set up ISIS. First, it was decades ago, poking the sleeping giant of Islam, getting involved in the Middle East. And then overturning the dictators who managed to maintain a fragile peace. And finally, in the name of one more regime change, trained and equipped the first soldiers of ISIS, many of whom were soldiers turned out from the abolished Iraqi army. They are the ones who are now infiltrating the West, blowing up the hand that fed them. They show their hand, all of them. They always do. But you're perhaps thinking by now, well, it seems a shame to have to hear about terrorism, even in church, 6 days of it. I mean, what with television and internet and all the talk, enough already. But, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the prophecy of the end of the world with all of its horrors, this Sunday and next. Artfully arranged with earthly analogies by our Lord himself, the announcement of the terror back then that awaited the deicide city, Jerusalem, in 40 years' time. And what a gruesome story that turned out to be. Cannibalism and carnage. And the crucified along the sides of the road for miles and miles. You see, our Lord could only use the language of terror to make us see. Language that remains burnt in our collective Catholic memory, caught in those tremendous phrases of the gospel, preserved for us, the majestic utterances of Christ still today in the cadences of the Requiem Mass, which is one of terror and of tremendous peace. The majestic utterances of our Savior, the Dies Irae, the Libera Me. Have you ever read them in your missal at a funeral? At times, our Savior speaks to us so simply and so gently that we forget the other part of the message, its menace, I mean. And it's foreboding. Rex tremende majestatis, O King of awful majesty. No longer to woo us with his winsome beauty, the little babe of Bethlehem, but for woe is he come, the judge of the wicked and the just alike. And yet today, 3 Sundays running, he intones the first words of the Mass, Dicit Dominus, the Lord saith. Right in the midst of all of the muck and the mayhem of this terror, I think thoughts of peace, not affliction. You shall call upon me, and I will hear you, and I will bring back your captivity from all places. How does it work? This peace in time of terror, that God means us well, and only well. Well, history, for starters, always somewhere, always something, always somebody is thinking thoughts of affliction for us, and it is not the good God. Life never is, since the garden and the sin, an ordered, peaceful affair. Wherever would you get that idea? The terrors of death are always surrounding us, body or soul. Only, and I think it is merciful, we forget. Oh, for a day or two we're frightened, and then life resumes. Or perhaps ignorantly, we have never known our history nor that of our fathers in the first place. Although our Lord's coming shall be at the end of all things, in a sense, no generation was there ever which did not see these terrible judgments carried out. Our Lord is always judging his people. Hasn't he come repeatedly Isn't the world already judged? And hasn't he sent now, in the last days, his mother with a last minute peace plan and protection for us from the Muslim foe in her rosary, in her heart? Our Lord tells us that it is the terror of the nations in every age. He indicates that this is but some new coming of Christ. Wars, rumors of wars, some further test for his faithful, which he himself comes to administer. Storms and winds are his messengers. Is it the end of the world? Are we near? Well, we have an Antichrist in place. We have great spiritual tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning until now. But we don't know whether the judgment is near or not, only that the coming of Christ is always, and always has been, at hand. Our business is to learn from the fig tree, the parable, and from fires, and from earthquakes, and from worries, as well as wars. All of the terrors and all of the tragedies of man's time upon this earth, and our own. To see Christ our Lord visiting and judging the world, where other people only see terror and are afraid, we have to see a good deal more. The test, the acid test of God's friendship. Is your faith big enough to face the reality of all of this? Not to retreat into the official myths and propaganda of governments, to look them straight in the eye and not to blink or to back away into error, and never, never to seek comfort in the crowd. That were cowardice, unworthy of a Catholic. Rather, to see Christ in all of this and unafraid. Next Sunday, I thought we'd start the Creed over again. It's been a number of years since we've done it. And that we would leave current events aside. Because it really is a matter of faith. The earth, with all the terror it holds today, in all of its terrible and piercing beauty, shall pass away. But God's word, including that little starter word at the top of the Mass in your missal today, that word of peace and not of affliction, God's words will not pass away. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.